Frightened by the passion of that outburst, Amaranta Ursula was closing her fingers, contracting them like a shellfish, until her wounded hand, free of all pain and any vestige of pity, was converted into a knot of emeralds and topazes and stony and unfeeling bones. "Fool," she said as if she were spitting, "I'm sailing on the first ship leaving for Belgium." Alvaro had come to the wise Catalonian's bookstore one of those afternoons, proclaiming at the top of his lungs his latest discovery, a zoological brothel. It was called the Golden Child, and it was a huge open-air salon through which no less than 200 bitterns who told the time with a deafening cackling strolled at will. In wire pens that surrounded the dance floor, and among large Amazonian camellias, there were herons of different colors, crocodiles as fat as pigs, snakes with 12 rattles, and a turtle with a gilded shell who dove in a small artificial ocean. There was a big white dog, meek, and a pederast, who would give stud services nevertheless in order to be fed. The atmosphere had an innocent denseness, as if it had just been created, and the beautiful mulatto girls who waited hopelessly among the blood-red petals and the outmoded phonograph records knew ways of love that man had left behind, forgotten in the earthly paradise. The first night that the group visited that greenhouse of illusions, the splendid and taciturn old woman who guarded the entrance in a wicker rocking chair felt that time was turning back to its earliest origins, when among the five who were arriving she saw a bony, jaundiced man with tartar cheekbones, marked forever and from the beginning of the world with the pox of solitude.
"Lord, Lord," she sighed, "Aureliano!"
She was seeing Colonel Aureliano Buendia once more as she had seen him in the light of a lamp long before the wars, long before the desolation of glory and the exile of disillusionment, that remote dawn when he went to her bedroom to give the first command of his life, the command to give him love. It was Pilar Ternera. Years before, when she had reached 145 years of age, she had given up the pernicious custom of keeping track of her age, and she went on living in the static and marginal time of memories, in a future perfectly revealed and established, beyond the futures disturbed by the insidious snares and suppositions of her cards. From that night on, Aureliano took refuge in the compassionate tenderness and understanding of his unknown great-great-grandmother. Sitting in her wicker rocking chair, she would recall the past, reconstruct the grandeur and misfortunes of the family, and the splendor of Macondo, which was now erased, while Alvaro frightened the crocodiles with his noisy laughter, and Alfonso invented outlandish stories about the bitterns who had pecked out the eyes of four customers who misbehaved the week before, and Gabriel was in the room of the pensive mulatto girl who did not collect in money but in letters to a smuggler boyfriend who was in prison on the other side of the Orinoco because the border guards had caught him and had made him sit on a chamber pot that filled up with a mixture of shit and diamonds. That true brothel, with that maternal proprietress, was the world of which Aureliano had dreamed during his prolonged captivity. He felt so well, so close to perfect companionship, that he thought of no other refuge on the afternoon on which Amaranta Ursula had made his illusions crumble. He was ready to unburden himself with words so that someone could break the knots that bound his chest, but he only managed to let out a fluid, warm and restorative weeping in Pilar Ternera's lap. She let him finish, scratching his head with the tips of her fingers, and without his having revealed that he was weeping from love, she recognized immediately the oldest sobs in the history of man. "It's all right, child," she consoled him. "Now tell me who it is." When Aureliano told her, Pilar Ternera let out a deep laugh, the old, expansive laugh that ended up as a cooing of doves. There was no mystery in the heart of a Buendia that was impenetrable for her, because a century of cards and experience had taught her that the history of the family was a machine with unavoidable repetitions, a turning wheel that would have gone on spilling into eternity were it not for the progressive and irremediable wearing of the axle. "Don't you worry," she said, smiling. "Wherever she is right now, she's waiting for you."